hope that this won't be too much of a duplication. In the book of Ephesians, I have a little simple outline that I like myself, and that is, in the first chapter, God wants us to know Him. And if you don't know Him, you are missing out on the very best of life. And God was so anxious that we should know Him that He sent His Son into the world. And so we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In the second chapter, God wants us to have His life. We who were dead, as it expresses it, in trespasses and sins, can be made alive in Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in chapter 3, God wants us to know His love. He wants us, in other words, to experience a love which is His, which we can experience in Christ, because all of these things are only experienced in Christ. A love which passes knowledge. He wants us to know in an experiential way a love, His love, which passes knowledge. And in chapter 4, He wants us to share with other believers His life. And what a precious thing it is, being in Christ, united to Him, to share with other believers the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 5, He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. And this goes on over into part of chapter 6, the first 9 verses of chapter 6. The results, the outgrowth of being filled with the Spirit of God. And then in chapter 6, He wants us to be victorious, especially from verse 10 on to the end of the chapter. But my subject this morning, and I hadn't given you any indication as to what it was to be, is concerning the Christian home. The home where the Lord Jesus Christ is honored. The Christian home is a place of fellowship, a place of sharing, and it's based on love and obedience. This morning we want to speak especially of the responsibility of the wife in the home. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we want to speak especially of the responsibility of the husband. And notice in a very practical way what God says about these things. But remember, the Christian home where the Lord is honored is a place of fellowship, of sharing, this is based on love and obedience. I thought of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua had led the children of Israel across the Jordan, and he had led them into the land of Canaan. They had seen many victories. They had seen some defeats and some problems, which were very serious. But God had been with them, and now Joshua was coming to the end of his days, and the time for his departure was drawing near. But he called the children of Israel together to speak to them from his heart and to challenge them with some things with which they needed to be challenged. And in chapter 24 and verse 15, he said to them, "Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this word comes out to us today, and I hope it comes out to us in all the force and power of the Holy Spirit of God from His Word. You choose this day whom you will serve. Each one of you. Are you going to serve the Lord or self and the world? Or maybe even the forces of evil. Israel turned away from God and worshipped idols and lived for themselves and went through days, generations of terrible trouble. And I've lived long enough to watch homes and to see homes where at one time the Lord was honored as head of the home, and to see generation and another generation come in, and to see a departure from God. And the terrible results of departure from God. It's a dreadful thing to ignore God, to shut the Lord Jesus Christ out of one's life and one's home. It's a very serious thing, and it brings very unhappy results, tragic results. You choose for yourself today whom you will serve. And I hope that every father here in this room this morning, and that every mother here in this room this morning with the father, will say and mean it, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The Lord Jesus was the honored guest in the home at Bethany, where we see Mary sitting at His feet to worship and to learn. And it was to Mary, which was revealed in a special way, the fact, evidently, that our Lord Jesus was to go to the cross and die, and that then He was to be buried, and that He was to rise again the first day. It was Mary in the 12th chapter of John who came to anoint His body before His death for His burial. It was Mary of Bethany who did not appear at the tomb weeping because she knew that He was going to rise from the dead, I think. And it was in that home that Martha was so beautifully serving. At one time she was encumbered with her serving, but the Lord taught her and she learned better. And it was in that home that Lazarus would sit at the table and have fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus come in bodily form and visit your home? Or would you be embarrassed? Or would you be embarrassed? I hope that you have invited Him to come to be in your home continually. You know, he walked with two, and I think it was Mr. and Mrs. Cleophas on the way to Emmaus. And when they got to their house, they said, "Oh, it's getting late. Why don't you come in and stay with us tonight?" And they persuaded him, and he came in. And Mrs. Cleophas went and got some food and put it on the table, and there was a loaf of bread. And he picked up this loaf of bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and the guest became the host. He passed it to them. And when the guest became the host in that home, their eyes were opened, and it was revealed to them that he was the Lord Jesus Christ, who had died, but who was alive again. And what a thrill filled the heart of those two as he disappeared from their sight, and they said, "Let's go back to Jerusalem, to where the believers are, and tell them what's happened." And so that night they went all the way back to Jerusalem. And then the Lord again appeared in their midst, of course. Sometimes we see, and we have it in our home, it was given to us, I think, as a wedding gift. Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal. The silent listener to every conversation. Do you think about this in your home? Or isn't it true in your home? Is he really the head of your home? Is he really the unseen guest at every meal? Is he really the silent listener to every conversation? Well, he hears, you know, whether you want him to or not. I hope you want him to. I hope your home is such that you will be glad to have him there and to have him listening. Now, we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, first of all. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, and verse 18, we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." We'll turn also to Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. "The aged or older women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh God holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet or sensible, chaste or pure, keepers or workers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." And then over in 1 Peter chapter 3 And beginning at verse 1, I'm going to read that out of the New International Version for your help in understanding it. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. And this is speaking of a lavish and type of dress and hairdo which would draw undue attention to the woman. It's not speaking of that which is in good taste. We have to go back to the customs of those days when we read a passage like this. Your beauty instead should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master or lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now going back to Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and verse 22. We'll examine this in a very simple, practical way, I trust. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The corresponding portion that we read in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now the word submit, or be subject to, the word submit is a word which was used in the military. It has to do with rank. It means literally to place under. It has to do with rank or position. And the wife in the home has a rank or position in regards to authority under her husband, according to the Word of God. And it's a voluntary thing. She takes this place of being subject to her husband in obedience to the Lord. And it does not depend on how she feels. It doesn't depend upon whether she wants to or not, or whether she feels like it or not. Because God has asked this in His Word, it is law to her. And she believes that this is exactly what she should do. To obey the Word of God literally. In a practical way, every day of her life, to submit. And this submission is shown by obedience, as we have already read. Now, this does not mean that the husband is like a dictator or slave, and she a slave. Actually, she is his chief advisor. Actually, when God created the woman, He made her from the man. And He took her out of the side of the man. As someone has said, not from his feet, that he should trample her under him, and not from his head, that she should lord it over him, but from his side, so that she could be one with him, standing beside him, under his arm, so to speak, to be loved by him, to be caressed by him, to be taken care of by him. and that she might be with him as a helper fit for him. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This word submit today is a difficult word in our society, isn't it? Wherever we go, we find it's a difficult word. People don't want to submit. But God says, submit. You notice the verse before, verse 21, says that we should submit to one another in the fear of God. And then it goes and says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It says to your own husband. This is very striking that in each of these passages that we have read, we have that intensive personal pronoun own, O-W-N. She should submit to her own husband. Not somebody else's, her own husband. In connection with this, Bill McRae says in some teaching that he's given on this subject that he believes, I'm quoting him now, he believes that if a sister in the meeting who has a husband needs to be dealt with for some reason or other, that the elder brethren should go first of all to her husband and speak to him about the matter. And then perhaps the husband will take them to his wife. She is to be submissive to her own husband. Think about that. And Titus 2:5 says, obedient to their own husband. This is the sphere of her submission. The marriage relationship is the most sacred, the most personal, and the most exclusive of all earthly relationships. He is your own husband, yours personally. And exclusively given to you by God. And you're to consider him as being such. And doesn't even qualify it by saying that he's a good husband. He may not even be a believer. Thank God if he is. It makes it much easier for him. Thank God if he's a spiritual man. We'll talk about that next Lord's Day. That makes it so much easier for the wife. Remember, this is the sphere of her submission. Then it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, or as is fitting in the Lord. Now this shows the wife's relationship to the Lord. A wife who is willing to submit to her husband and who voluntarily does this in the home and in all affairs of their life is one whose relationship to the Lord must be good. And this is especially true in a woman who finds it difficult to submit. And there are many women who find it difficult to take a place of submission, a place of lower rank. But you know, really, that kind of a woman who finds it difficult to take a lower rank and be submissive to her husband, when she does it, she is showing a beautiful thing. She is doing a beautiful thing. She is doing a very unusual thing. Because it tells us that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And she is demonstrating the relationship of the church to Christ in a beautiful way. You see, the husband represents the Lord Jesus Christ in the home. I might just say here, in case I forget it, that this does not mean that the husband and wife are not equal. In many, many respects, they are equal. And as they're standing before God, they're equal. You remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. You think he is equal to the Father? Our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit equal in their attributes? Or is one above another? They're equal, aren't they? And yet the Lord Jesus said, I do nothing except my Father tells me to do it. He took a place, a lower rank, a place of submission as a perfect son. So it's not a matter of not of equality, it's a matter of rank. Many times the wife is even more brilliant than her husband. She may know the scriptures better. She may have better judgment in many things. That's why he needs her as his chief advisor. But he has to make the final decision. And it does not depend upon the husband's worthiness. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome and said that everyone must be subject to the governing authorities, do you know who was the dictator, the monarch in Rome at that time? It was that wicked Nero. Such a wicked man that he used to take the Christians and have them dipped in hot tar and then have them put up on poles around his garden and have them burn to death to light his garden each evening. That's the kind of a man that was on the throne when Paul wrote those words that one must submit to the governing authorities. It does not have to do with the worthiness of the one who is in authority. Don't forget that. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. What a beautiful example. And this is the basis of her submission. What if there are two heads? Well, that's a monstrosity. I've delivered calves with two heads, and that's a monstrosity. I don't think I ever saw one live. Sure I didn't. There have been occasions where they have lived for a while. What if there are two queen bees in a hive? You get division. That's when they hive off. Part of the bees will go with one queen bee and part of the bees will stay with the one that's there. Then you get two hives. You get a division on their two heads. What if there's no heads? Then you get anarchy, and you get lawlessness. Everyone doing that which is right in his own eye. And so often homes in the world today are that way. There's no head. There's no authority in the home. And what if the wrong one is head of the home? Then you get confusion. A Supreme Court judge went to Italy. And while he was there in Italy, where juvenile delinquency is supposed to be the lowest of any place in the world, he wrote back to the President of the United States, and he said, the solution to the problems in the United States is in nine words. And these are the nine words. Put the husband back as head of the house. That was what the Supreme Court of the United States wrote to a president of the United States. Put the husband back as head of the house. Ephesians 5:24, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their own husbands. And you notice those two words at the end of verse 24? In everything. We need to examine the scriptures very carefully. In everything. We have, first of all, in this verse, the perfect example of submission for the wife. The church being subject to Christ. Well, today we don't see the church perfectly subject to Christ, do we? Because we live in a scene where there is all kinds of disorder. And where things are not according to the Word of God. But the day is coming when the church has been taken home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That great wedding day is coming when the church is going to be united to Christ. And we read about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride preparing herself as a bride adorned for her husband. And then things will be as they should be. Say, I hope that you're one of the church. I hope that you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ so that you're going to be one of those at that marriage supper of the Lamb to be united to Christ forever. And if you're not, I feel for you. There's nothing but tragedy ahead for you. Turn to Christ today and trust Him. And of course, you wives are having the privilege of learning today and demonstrating today what proper submission is and preparing yourself and others for that day when we will be united into the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with Him. The extent of our submission is in everything. Now this is qualified as, by the words, as unto the Lord. You see, there is a higher authority than the husband in the home, and that's the Lord. But the wife is to be submissive to her husband in everything, unless it's something absolutely actually forbidden by God. Now, if her husband asked her to do something immoral, dishonest, or absolutely contrary to a plain commandment of Scripture, then she would have to lovingly, quietly, kindly say to him in a meek and gentle way, according to 1 Peter 3, honey, I can't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want me to do it. God tells me in the Bible that it would be wrong. And this will have an impact upon that husband, which is tremendous, because God will begin to deal with that man in a very special way.
because he has asked his wife to do something wrong, and she has quietly, gently, submissively declined, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a higher authority. And God will strike darts into that man's heart. He maybe won't admit it. He may get very angry, and his anger may be primarily because God's dealing with him. He may not know it. You may not know it. But our God's way is always the right way. And then, you know, we didn't read the end of verse 33 in chapter 5 of Ephesians. We saved that to last. The first part of verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife," that is, let each one of you personally love his own wife, "even as himself, and the wife see that she," what? "Reverence her husband." What? You mean I'm supposed to reverence the crazy guy? This word reverence has to do with respect. And a wife shows her reverence, her respect for her husband by the way she treats him, by the way she acts when he's around, and by the way she acts when he's not around, by the way she conveys to the children his orders. Take an example. Supposing that little Susie, about 16 years old, is going to a school play and the boyfriend's picking her up, and daddy's away on business. Mother's home alone with the children, has a responsibility of carrying on in the home. And when the mother says goodbye to her, she says, "Remember, daddy says you should be home at 10 o'clock. "Well, I don't want to be home by 10. Nobody does that. All the other kids stay out till midnight. "Yes, but your daddy knows what's best. And he says you should be home by 10 o'clock. But supposing the mother does it this way. Supposing she says, "Well, I know he's kind of strict and unreasonable, but he says you should, so you'd better be home." She has cut down her husband. She has undermined his authority. She has shown him disrespect. She's been irreverent. She has disobeyed God. And that's a terribly serious thing. Ah, the enablement we find in verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Prepare your vessel, your person, your heart by the things that we're told in the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, so that you have a clean vessel to present to the Lord. And then he will fill you with his Spirit, and there will be joy in your heart overflowing to others, and there'll be thanksgiving, and it'll be easy for you to be submissive. That's the enablement. Wives, it is your own spiritual relationship with the Lord that is reflected in your marriage relationship. Quoting from Bill McRae again. Now I'd like to close with a poem. I took this from Making the Home Happy by Cross. If I had known in the morning how wearily all the day the words unkind would trouble my mind, I said when you went away, I had been more careful, darling, nor given you needless pain. But we vex our own with tone and look we may never take back again. For though in the quiet evening you may give me the kiss of peace, yet it might be that never for me the pain of the heart should cease. How many go forth in the morning that never come home at night, and hearts have broken for harsh words spoken, that sorrow can ne'er set right. We've been careful, we have careful thoughts for the stranger and smiles for the transient guest, but oft for our own that bitter tone. Though we love our own the best, ah, lips with the curve impatient, ah, brow with that look of scorn. 'Twere a cruel fate were the night too late to undo the work of morn. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we confess that in many things we fail. We thank you for the clarity of your word and ask that you will enable us and strengthen us to obey your word and make our homes homes of rejoicing and peace and joy and real fellowship, because there is real love and obedience. Love for yourself, obedience to yourself, love for one another, and obedience too in the home. We ask that you will separate us with your blessing. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you.